Laugh Out Loud with Wise and Nerdy, the show hosted by two hilarious dads who bring their unique blend of wit, wisdom, and nerdiness to the airwaves. From sharing hilarious anecdotes about their own experiences to giving advice on navigating the ups and downs of life, these two dads have got you covered. But that's not all. They're also obsessed with all things nerdy, from comic books and sci-fi movies to video and board games. So whether you're a fellow dad, a pop culture fanatic, or just in need of a good laugh, this is Wise and Nerdy. And now, let's have some fun.
Okay, Mike, you can listen. Let's have some fun.
So... I don't understand
your face.
I fail to comprehend.
That's true.
Why everybody and their brother decides to send in a speak pipe on the week they know I'm going to be gone.
I saved two of them for you.
It's okay. No, I don't want those. I saw what you saved. They're called bad dad jokes. I don't want those.
Well, too bad.
I want the other stuff. There's nothing new for tonight. Nothing new for tonight. Nothing new for tonight. So oddly enough, though, Joe, I must not make a big impression on you, because you even noticed I was gone last week. You just kept going on calling your Bob Charles, and I don't understand, but you know, sure. I love that you miss me. I love that you love me, but you didn't notice I was gone. And you know what? Here's another thing Cranky Pants is going to talk about. That's me, Captain Cranky Pants tonight. Not really. But here's... Thank you, Random Kid. You're my boy, Blue. Which, by the way, Phil texted me the other day. I'm all over the place tonight. Just suck it up, Buttercup. Phil texted me the other night. He's like,
so
who is Random Kid? I'm like, it's either you or Dennis. He's like, no, it's neither one of us. I don't know who that is. And they know way too much. I'm like what? He goes, well, you know, they're in our chats because I think they were in like your chats for the, like, oh yeah, no, that's weird. I have a fan. Cool. Yeah. Screw you, Phil. Phil says he's going to be watching tonight. Yeah. No, numbers say no. Computer says no. He's a liar, but that's okay. Back to my other points. You know, it does say two awesome dads, right? Our jersey says two awesome dads. I don't think we add Kurt to that. Kurt's just a grandfather who's going to wander through here every once in a while. We love old Pop Kurt, and he's going to sit and tell the stories whenever he wants, and he's definitely part of the fandom. But guess what, Kurt? I don't know if you're going to make the jersey, buddy. So there's that. Hey, this is Wise and Nerdy, where fatherhood meets fandom, and we are your nerd family, your fandom, if you will, because my family is dumb, but you know, we go on. So, oh my God, what is this?
It's the question of the week.
Now, it would have cracked me up if Random Kid had showed up at the EMS conference and signed in for that speech, which I'll talk about later. But that's neither here nor there. My question of the week is, why do you submit speak pipes when I'm not going to be on the show?
I didn't. It wasn't me.
Yeah, you don't care enough to send in a speak pipe.
They didn't know you were going to be gone.
We said I was going to be gone. Random Kid noticed. What's the one food you can never bring yourself to eat, Joe? Oh, yeah. Hey, side note. We went to Dragon God Volunteer Day, and Kelsey's just banned from listening to the show. So, all right. What food would you never bring yourself to eat, Joe?
Fried okra. I know, really? I live in the South, but no.
Really?
Maybe I've just never had good fried okra, but I've had it a couple of times, and I don't care for it at all.
Was it a church event?
No.
Okay, second question. Was it a chain buffet restaurant?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That
Or not chain. I mean, it was a... it wasn't a buffet restaurant. Somebody ordered it for me when I was out, and they were like, you need to try this. You've never tried fried okra? You got to try it. I'm like, okay, where were
Describe
we?
The
Maybe day. It was a chain.
It doesn't matter. But the ones that are buffets,
it might have been Cracker Barrel.
No. Oh, God. I know you're white, but you're not that white, Joe. Don't go to Cracker Barrel. What is wrong with you? You are not old, and you're not that white, buddy. I know you're a Mormon, but dude, you got some spice in your life. I've seen you eat some hot sauce. Do not go to Cracker Barrel. They ruined bacon. How do you ruin bacon? I don't know, but they do.
I think I've been to Cracker Barrel twice ever. So
they call it Cracker for a reason, dude. I won't go there. My people won't go there.
I wasn't the one that picked it. In fact, other people were paying for me both times I went. So
honestly, I never paid for Cracker Barrel. And even then, I will say, yeah, thank you for paying, but I'm going to rag you the whole time because this is trash. This is trash. This is old people food. When your waiting lobby to go eat is a freaking knick-knack horrible Christmas in July store that you can't even move through without knocking five things over. The food is not good. All right.
Yeah, it's pretty run of the mill.
Now, you may never like fried okra. Can you describe, like the texture?
I just remember it was slimy and I didn't care for it.
Yeah, got bad. You got bad okra. Now, again, you may not actually like it. I would not expect you to try it again after that experience. But I can tell you, I do love some good fried okra, but the key word is good. It has to have a crunch to it. It has to be like, when it's fried okra, it has to crunch like you deep fried it. And we've actually stopped doing it at home because it's just hit or miss with the frozen okra and the hand breaded stuff. It's just not quite there. What we do now is Easter was the first family event we did it at. We do homemade egg rolls. And that goes over really well. Random kid says Vegemite. He can't bring himself to try Vegemite.
That's the Australian thing, right?
Yeah.
They spread it on toast or something.
Yeah, I forget what's in it, but I've heard it described. I'm like, yeah, no. And I'm going to stay away from the
big. I've heard it's super salty. I've never tried it.
I'm going to stay away from the big easies. Like there's that sour shark, that fermented shark, whatever, in Sweden or Norway or wherever.
Yeah. Or that black egg.
Yeah. Of course not. Of course not. I will not do non-fried okra for any reason. I won't do it. It's slimy. I can't do it. Slimy. I can't. No. If I see it in my soup, I'm picking it out. No. Can't do it.
Vegemite is a byproduct of beer production. Interesting.
That's maybe, but they got to do more with it. It can't just be I know with certain things, I think beer is the same as it's cooked or whatever, stuff rises to the top and gets scraped off. It must be something from that. When you talk about byproducts, what I think about, I don't know. But yeah, it has to be something more than just put it in a jar and put on.
They add a vegetable extract and salt and malt extract and vitamins and stuff and riboflavin.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't do it. Bananas, I can't eat those anymore because they have to be just perfect in texture.
Hey, really?
The texture, I get so. I used to eat them all the time.
You ate a banana at Chattacon. I asked if you wanted me to bring you one, and I brought you one.
I didn't eat it.
Oh.
It went back to my hotel room. I tried because it is graciously offering me food. And. I don't know what happened in my childhood to make me get away from that. So
I've heard stories of your childhood.
But I did chocolate dip bananas when I was a kid, frozen bananas when I was a kid, regular. But at some point, the mushy, when it gets to a point, it's mushy meal. I don't mean like squishy, but this mealy, it's a texture thing. Can't do it.
One of my favorite ways to eat banana, not saying you would like this because you probably wouldn't, but one of my favorite ways to eat bananas is on pancakes. Take a pancake
like pancakes either. But
I take the pancake. I don't do this often, but take the pancake, put some peanut butter on it, crunchy peanut butter preferably, and banana slices and some chocolate chips and syrup.
Sure, I get it. All that sounds like it would blend well together and do well. Never going to happen. Celery. Nope.
I don't. Nope. I don't care for celery, especially not by itself, but I don't mind it in like a soup.
Crawfish. Nope.
No, I'm not sure if I've ever had crawfish.
Do not to be honest. Like faces on my food. And the thing about crawfish specifically, with everybody ever grew up, everything on TV, blah blah blah. You pull the hand off and you suck it. No, is what you're gonna get from me. The very slow motion, like let's throw something else out here because I'm on this kick. Okay, people. This is a PG-13, we can say one F-bomb kind of show. We don't say it, but we can't. But I say that to say, keep it clean when I say this, fools. What's something you won't touch?
That I won't touch?
Yeah.
Like that normal people would touch,
yes.
I'm assuming. Because obviously, like,
okay.
Acid, we, I'm not going to dip my hand.
We are the gods that set lava. The normality. So, yeah, normies are just pagans that are going to die. So, yeah, whatever you want to call them. But, yes, other, in a statistical world, in the statistics, most people would say, yeah, I'm cool with that. It's fine.
I don't know. You clearly have something in mind.
Slime. I won't do slime at all. Hey,
speaking Kurt. Of slime, I mean, wait.
Hey.
Howdy.
Hey.
So we were just asking, keeping it clean, in the statistical sense of a quoting fingers normal world and the, you know, falling within the ranges of statistics, what is something you won't touch that other people would?
That other people, like, don't even think twice about?
And mine was slime. My kid thinks Freddy to try to get near me. I was like, I will knock you into next week. You get that crap away from me. I hate it. Hate it.
So I have touch issues. Like I
oh, don't, join the club. We're just talking about our taste issues and our touch yeah, issues.
So yeah. I don't like stuff on my hands. And so to the point where right now, I can go into my kitchen and I have at least 700 nitrile gloves.
Yeah.
That I use. I should own the company. Right. I should own the company. I love doing barbecue. I don't want that crap on my hands. I love prepping food. Otherwise, I don't want that crap on my hands. If I'm putting dishes in the dishwasher, I wear a glove. Because I don't want crap on my hands. It drives me crazy. It's a texture thing. It's a whole thing. The more gelatinous the substance, the worse it is. So
like slime,
raw chicken. Nope. And I eat it all the time. Like not raw. I cook it, but
love that salmonella.
Now we really know why Kurt's in and out each week. The food poisoning's getting him.
Yeah. No, it's I've got a real touch thing where just I don't want crap on my hands.
You know what? I get that. What, Joe?
I'm super weird about this one. He mentioned hands. I don't really like lotion. Like,
yeah,
even like sunscreen, no. I'll put it on at the beach, but if I'm not at the beach, I don't put sunscreen Kurt, on I've like learned ever.
That can do the spray because I try to be healthy. So I can, with my wife's help, get some of the spray in it, but yeah, straight out of the bottle. This is how much I love my wife. About once a month, she finally gets up and she's like, would you please lotion me? Cause they're back and all that, you know? And like, okay, and then I mean, you can't get the feel. It
puts the lotion on the skin.
You don't even know that movie. Stop. But Kurt, we did ask another question. Well, two other questions, really, but one is irrelevant to you because you missed last week. But the question was, why does everybody call in speed pipe so I'm not going to be on the show? That was one question. But the other question was, what's one food you can never bring yourself to eat? And you are a foodie. You are a barbecue connoisseur, amongst other things, I imagine. So what one food could you never bring yourself to eat? You don't even have to have tried it. You could have.
But yeah. This is going to sound kind of boring, I think, but I do not and probably will never like tomatoes.
Okay.
I will eat them in a sauce. I will make my own sauce.
Same.
But if it's chunky, like, oh, pizzas that have like chopped tomatoes on top.
That's instead not of a pizza. That's an assault.
No, thank it's you. Gross. It's gross. Yeah. Like it. And it, I think it's a texture thing for me as well. Again, it's that any food shouldn't be gelatinous on the inside unless it's Jello.
I made some Jello today, but that is whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm the same way. Everyone like Wendy's. Now, if I forget to take it, you know, tell them not to hold, do it. Wendy's is the one place that if they happen to leave tomatoes in my burger, I can do okay with it. That's probably because they get cheap, hard tomatoes and they have a little crusher. So I don't know. And they put so much sauce and crap on their burgers, you don't taste it. But yeah, no, I don't.
I'll even try. Like I tried with cherry tomatoes. I figured, they're like one thing. I don't have to cut them open or whatever. Took a bite and I went, nope. I'm done. That's that.
I'm similar with mushrooms. I've tried mushrooms maybe a dozen times. I don't care for mushrooms at all. And mushrooms is one of those things that either you love them or you hate them, it seems like.
Yeah, it does seem like that, yeah.
So,
however,
like that, olives are in that category. It seems like people either love them or hate them. I love olives, to be honest.
They're terrible.
The worst. You're the worst, Joe.
Eggplant. How about eggplant?
I've had eggplant parmesan. It's all right.
Yeah, eggplant parmesan is all right. That's the only time I've ever liked eggplant.
What about cow tongue? Beef tongue?
I'm not sure if I've ever had.
I would completely eat that.
Yeah, and it's great. It is really great.
And I'm a big liver fan.
I'm not, but it's because of the taste.
My dad loved liver and onions. I didn't care for it.
Get that onion crap out of here. No onions.
I will literally make a meal out of sauteed onions and mushrooms, people.
Oh, I wish I could.
Yeah.
I wish I could. So gross.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to drink raw eggs, Rocky. Get the F out of here with that.
Neither would I.
So... and there's just some things that get from the depths of storage wars, they get a deep nope from me kind of thing. It's like, so I thought you want to try.
That, I don't even that, that's the guy, he try. Has nope on his hat, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does now.
Nope. All right, let's see. What is this?
Oh, man.
Roll that dice.
Ooh. Maybe I should have had the dice ready, huh? Now Charles can yell at me about it because he loves yelling at me when I don't have the dice ready. It's like his favorite thing ever.
What are you nerding out about now?
Nothing. Charles is like, he froze.
He froze.
No, I just wanted you to think I froze because you're dogging me out. Screw you, man.
Look, he froze so bad.
Oh. Are we going to play this game tonight, Joe? Is that what we're going to play? All right. Kurt, what are you nerding out about, baby?
A Netflix show.
All right.
Really? I'm actually kind of surprised.
Physical 100?
I thought you were going to say something else.
That. I wanted to like that show too. During the first season.
Which
I got
one?
Two or three episodes into it. 100. Physical 100.
Oh, there's more than one
season. So I started the first season, and
I think the second season just started.
Okay, and Joe, very quickly, not to be funny, it's a Korean-based show, I believe, that they dub over for you. But it's the 100 most fittest people from all walks of life. They have Olympic medalists, they have trainers, they have military people. I wanted to like it too, Kurt. I thought it'd be really cool. It is cool, but you really have to like muscles and. Oh yeah, who's going to overcome type of deal? Because that's about all it is. It's like who? It's all different body types and who can win. I don't know. It wasn't as interesting, but
it's kind of like American Gladiators without the fun.
Oh, yeah. I loved American Gladiators.
I use that as a reference in management today.
I told people the remake was okay, but the classic is where it's at.
So the thing that I'm nerding out about on Netflix is Woo Assassins.
Yes, sir, you are. Woo Assassins.
And
there's only one season.
Well, so here's the thing though. I also learned that they just came out with a movie.
Really?
Yes. And literally, so I'm on episode 8 of Woo Assassins right now, and there's only 2 more episodes before the whole thing gets done. I actually kind of missed.
Okay. So they call it Fistful of Vengeance.
Yeah. So the new movie, I think it's Fistful of Vengeance or something like that, right?
Yeah, according to it is, because I see the same actor and all that. It's a Netflix film. Cool. I had no idea it dropped, so I will definitely watch this. But the question that I found on Google was, do I need to watch Woo Assassins before Fistful of Vengeance? Why they didn't put Woo Assassins Fistful of Vengeance, I don't know, because it is absolutely that universe.
Yeah, and that was a little weird to me because it was the same cast. I mean, I saw it and I went, oh, okay, what's this? And it's like the same cast. Ooh,
I didn't realize Jason Tobin was in both. He's
but the other,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, no, Jason Tobin was in the one you just finished watching.
Oh, Warrior. Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Physical 100, but.
Oh, no. And so the other thing was, I think I must have looked away because they appeared to time travel. I thought we were in like oldie time, except no, that was Warrior. I got them conflated.
Oh, no.
I completely got them conflated.
Racist.
Yeah. Yeah. So. So the thing I expect to be nerding out about next week is Netflix also just released their beta of games.
I've had that on my phone for
a hot minute. They've had games for a while.
Well, but
what are you talking about?
There's a whole bunch of them, and I haven't seen them on the desktop. But there's a game called... Yeah,
there's a bunch on the phone. There's some Reigns on the desktop now?
And, yeah.
Oh, are you Story talking about Warriors. The stuff that they made?
I don't know that, because some of this looks like stuff that I've seen before. Well, Reigns definitely phone. Looks like now, something.
They haven't widely released it. Maybe they're more widely releasing it. It has been rolling out that Netflix on the app on the phone has definitely had some games. And they're supposed to be making some of their own games and eventually bringing it to the TV and the desktop app as well. But I don't know if it's made it that far.
Yeah, so
I grabbed
have fun.
Bloons TD6 from the phone app.
I've seen that kind of thing on the phone app as well. And those appear to be like either Android or Apple type apps, but this appears to be playing within the Netflix infrastructure.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, that I don't know. Maybe there's something different there. But Joe, real quick, you would rather play Bloons Adventure Time because it's the same base
Adventure
game. TD whatever with the monkeys.
Yeah.
It has some of the monkey characters, but it has a ton of Adventure Time characters. And if you like the show, and if you don't know anything about the show, then you won't care. But if you like
the show, I didn't know nothing about the show.
Well, you still might enjoy.
I didn't even know there was a show.
You might. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Whew. All right. So wait, I know, Kurt. I got this, Kurt. Seriously, Joe. Look up Adventure Time. Where to stream it? It's on multiple different places. I think it's on.
Oh, HBO I've now. Heard of Adventure Time.
What do you think I said?
You said, I thought you said Bloons
Adventure Time. I did. Time. So Adventure Time is a TV show
with Finn and Jake.
I have talked to Finn the Human twice now. Jeremy Shada. I've interviewed him twice now. All right.
I thought you were saying that there was a Bloons TV show with the monkeys.
No. The Bloons game.
That'd be fun.
Right. Which really.
I mean, they made an Angry Birds movie. Time for the Bloons. Okay.
Fair enough. All right. Let's reset. So the Bloons franchise really developed that kind of tower defense game really well. It made a name for itself. Then they got licensed and partnered with Adventure Time. So there's still some of the monkey characters from the other Bloons games. That basic tower defense type, but you get all the Adventure Time characters. And I'm telling you, even though I don't play it currently, I do not regret the 10 or 20 bucks I put into it to buy open packs because it was so much fun. And it really catches the flavor of the Adventure Time TV show in this tower defense game. So if you like Bloons, check out Bloons Adventure Time. Or
I really
Adventure
do
Time
like
Bloons, somewhere in there.
I really do like Bloons as a tower defense game. It did, and Joe, to be fair, it did sound like you had no idea what Adventure Time was.
I haven't actually watched it. My kids have watched it a little bit, but yeah,
no, I'm not saying it's perfect for your two older boys for sure. You should have them watch it. It's on point.
Yeah, I have not watched Adventure Time.
And yeah, in case ever I miss it, I've interviewed Jerry Shatta twice. So
yeah. Name dropper.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Well, no, he didn't remember me. The second time was 2 years after the first time. He didn't remember me. And I did not look any different. So that's okay. Joe, what are you nerding out about?
I am nerding out about some tech upgrades. So my wife, she's been doing some student teaching or student teaching. That's not the right word. She's been doing tutoring, remote tutoring to pick up just, you know, a little bit of extra money here and there. And so she
that's a delayed response, but I like it.
She does that from our bedroom, and the Wi-Fi every now and again was. I see that look. It's tutoring little kids.
This is a podcast. There are no looks.
I saw that look. So she was complaining because the internet was stuttering some. The signal wasn't very good. And so we purchased a Deco two tower mesh network. So basically now there's a repeater in our bedroom.
Yeah.
We had a kind of mesh network. It was just a janky homemade thing with two incompatible routers. But now these are an official mesh network, and it's been working really, really well. So that's been awesome. And then this last week, I installed some new RAM onto my computer because I decided I wanted some more RAM just because. And so I got an upgrade. I now have twice as much RAM, and it's a bit faster than my.
How much RAM do you want, Joe?
One to two.
I want two.
Now I have 32 gigs of RAM, so that's pretty nice. And so, yeah, that now I don't have to worry about how many Chrome tabs I have open while I'm playing Minecraft with the kids or whatever.
Do you at least have an SSD in your?
I do.
Okay. Okay.
I have an SSD and a hard drive.
I just
in my.
Well, no, that's fine. Computer. That's fine. I just I get really critical about people who buy a lot of RAM, but don't bother to upgrade their hard drive to an SSD. What?
Grandpa Kurt gets critical. I've never heard of that one before.
It's probably another couple of years before I really need to upgrade, but there was a deal that I saw that came across and I was like, ooh, that is very tempting for a much newer computer.
Now, probably won't be an SSD, but I just came across this on the Talk of Ticks and it makes sense. You go to the thrifting places, right, and look for the DVRs. You know, like Dish Network DVR, DirecTV, TiVo, those type of things. Crack them open. They usually have a 1 terabyte hard drive in it, and you can get it for like $5 or $10. Because nobody thinks about it. They're like, recorder. We'll just throw it on the shelf.
Yep.
And you can get you cheap. And I mean, you're taking your chance, but for $5, $10, you take a chance, but you can erase it. And now you get a terabyte hard drive for $10.
Yeah. Hoping that it lasts long enough. I know, but I wouldn't put anything important on it is what I'm saying.
No, but something like that, if you're looking for cheap storage, that's really not a crazy idea.
I've always wanted to play with a RAID array. And that's how I do it. That's the only way I do it is if I got a bunch of cheap hard drives and set it up that way. I upgraded my computer not that long ago, and it was the motherboard and processor. Everything else basically stayed the same. And I still need to erase. Just it's that time again. I just need to do a clean wipe and reinstall everything. That is a pretty good deal, Joe.
I linked it in our private chat. But I guess if for people who are
honestly with your knowledge here, you can do that for better by building it yourself.
You can actually with what this comes out to, people were doing PC part picker to check. This actually comes out to, I think it's like $50 cheaper than if you bought all the parts yourself.
Interesting. That is easily done when you're a bigger company, can order on spec, you know, in mass.
Yeah, it's weird. The whole industry goes through cycles about whether or not it's cheaper to build it yourself or buy it fully assembled.
So I think what is probably also happening is these are stuff where they have too much inventory and they're just trying to move it.
Yeah.
And so they've marked it down and they're taking a loss just to move stuff off their shelves.
Yeah.
So, this is actually it's CyberPower PC. That's who I bought my current computer from. Yeah. And it has some customization options as well. As you go down and it says, okay, well, for this much more, this much less, you can get things. And so, yeah, it's not a bad deal, for basically $1,100 plus tax and shipping's free,
man,
plus tax.
That's only a few weeks of blood donation, man. You can get this. The reason I was gone last week is I was at the EMS conference, which happens twice a year. That's nothing new. But for the first time ever, I was a speaker at the conference.
Ooh, subwoofer or regular?
Many. I was just like one of these little Bluetooth crappy ones they give away. That's it. So it's a leadership conference. And man, I'm still sitting here saying I'm not sure how it went. Because now I recorded, I set up my camera, I recorded it all. Which by the way, I sold a crappy camera because the good camera is literally sitting 3 feet behind me. I'm just was too tired to put it up tonight and get it reinstalled back into my studio. But I took that with me. I need to get the card off of there and get it. But it was a Friday morning. And for us, that's the last day of the conference. So it's like a Monday morning for Dragon Con, if you will. And people were tired. And I was in a nice sandwich slot. So there's a professional speaker that spoke the night before that I was really impressed by. We interacted well from the audience to him, and we played with each other. So afterwards, I talked to him and you know, told him I was speaking. He was speaking first slot Friday and last slot Friday. I was the one slot in the middle. And so he said he'd stick around. I told him, give me, you know, any kind of feedback, whatever. He's professionally speaking on this kind of circuit. He loved it. He thought I did great. He had some great feedback. He took one of my quotes and put it in his regular rotation and all this other stuff. We've been talking ever since. So, I mean, it's easy, arguably, it went well. But when you give a speech and you give a joke and then you have to look at the audience and go, screw you guys, that was funny. I deserve to laugh. And that's what gets the joke? It's a tough crowd. Now, people were eye contact with me. Mostly off their phones, mostly off their computers. And this conference is notorious. It's a leadership conference. We all do some form of running companies. And the majority of the state reps are there. So they're in the back table, always on their computers, right? So there is that. But it was all right. But I really, you know, love it. Somebody said, even though I was exhausted Friday. So I just recounted on Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/ Wise_in_nerdy, you'll get the full 2.5 hour episodes, because we do about an hour, a little over an hour, hour and a half live on YouTube. That's a podcast, but there's almost a good solid 30 minutes before and sometimes 30 minutes after that we're talking about stuff. And I'm usually the first one in because that's how I design it. I just want to get in early, start telling some stories, warm myself up before I interact. And so I told my whole full 3 weeks to today. I mean, I have not stopped going and recording and doing things, and I'm tired. But I was really tired because it was just a high energy conference, and then I spoke. But even Friday afternoon, when I got to Tyra's house, and I'm exhausted, I'm still hammering out, you know, okay, this is my speech was too much stuff. I can break it out into three different speeches and refining, and I just, that's what I'm learning about right now. Is just I love live speaking so much. And I've got to check my chart. You know, guys, in this after this show during the Patreon, I'll go and update my chart and let all the patrons know where I am and my goals. My goal was to do 24 live gigs or speaking gigs by the end of this year. And it's an arbitrary number, you know, 24 and 24, that kind of thing. But still, you got to start somewhere. And I'll update where I'm at with that. And I've already got a bunch of applications out for other things. But I like it so much that I have a date coming up that Joe was not accepted for, oddly enough. I'm going to MetroThemCon in Chattanooga, and I had pitched Wise and Nerdy, and for whatever reason, it did not get picked up, but Finding the Stories did. And I'm doing the opening panel right after opening ceremonies with the founder of the con. And that's at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Chattanooga. So I need to be on the road like 11:30 to get up there. But there's a brand new EMS conference in Athens that I've been trying to help build that is starting that day. And they only have one day. And so I pitched to take one of the two opening 30-minute spots in the morning to speak there, to then jump in my car and drive up to Chattanooga to do that con. And two different things, but it's a lot. And even at Easter, I talk about how I'm exhausted, but it's worth it right now. It's worth going after what I want and really, really meaning it and figuring out ways to make that happen. And then the last thing I'm nerding out about throughout this phrase, I got in the bucket. So 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, Joe, Demon Slayer hit the theaters, right? The newest two episodes. At the time, had no idea, because Zoe and I went, we talked about it, right? We came back to the show, talked about it, geeked out, whatever. And you guys still haven't seen it, so I'm ahead of you. But Zoe and I went, had no idea they had a bucket, a popcorn bucket of their own. Now, it's nothing super fancy, which I prefer. It's a black, full, big, you know, matches their big gallon size, whatever large is, AMC bucket. And then, but it has basically the movie poster stylized on the front of it. Really sharp looking, my kind of thing. Subtle, as opposed to like the King Kong bucket being this huge new triangle with a split for Godzilla and King Kong, or the Ghostbusters bucket, way overpriced, probably $50 freaking. Are you kidding me? For this stupid plastic
$50?
Yeah, for the it's like $48, $49, I think, for the replica Ghostbusters trap that is the cheapest, stupidest plastic crap. They'll hold like a handful of popcorn in it. You know, so a couple weeks ago, after I discovered it, like I was getting refill on popcorn, Aaron and Zoe and I had gone to see Screen Unseen or something. And I went, what, there's a popcorn bucket? I think I saw a poster for it. So I walked up to the counter and said, hey, do y'all happen to have any more of those Demon Slayer buckets? Now, this is weeks after Demon Slayer had hit the things. Usually, especially with AMC. AMC does this all the time. We're notorious for that. I say weeks. I'm an investor, so I'm all for the money. But it's notorious for cool thing, and it's sold out by opening weekend. Right. And that's how you get some money. It's how you generate overhead, you know, costs versus the movie tickets. So I asked, and the girl's like, no, we're out. Okay, sorry. I told Zoe, sorry, they don't have it. This past Easter weekend, went to see Godzilla X Kong. And if y'all care, I'll share my thoughts on that after in the Patreon. But I saw the Kong bucket, and I'm going to ask one more time. And I asked the girl, I was like, yeah, by chance, y'all have any more of those Demon Slayer buckets? And she went, you know what? I'll go check. I'm like, cool. And they did. And ooh. I was so excited. $16. So not horrible for something.
Considering it was $50 before, right?
Well, that one, I don't know. I just know the Ghostbuster ones is like $50. Okay. But those are stylized plastic toys. So I don't know. It could have been just the same price, but they were gone. And all I want, just something cool. It commemorates the moment we got to share in the theater. It's something that she and I mean, I agree with you, Joe. I think I would like this show with or without Zoe. I think I'd be more like Kurt if it weren't for Zoe. You know, Kurt's like, yeah, it's a cool show. I like this part, like that part. But he's not, I would not say you're like, I'm the diehard. I got to see the next Demon Slayer.
I'm not a diehard guy.
Yeah, I think I might be in that boat, except Zoe and I are bonding over it, right? She's into it. I'm into it. It's something we can share together. So it was cool to get that bucket. And I was so excited that I found it. I could take it home to her that my wife went, hey, dummy, that comes with popcorn. Oh yeah. So I went back and got them filled up with popcorn after I paid for it.
So you didn't get the collector cup to go with it?
No,
just the bucket.
I can't. I know what you're saying. I know. I get you.
Well, because it matches it perfectly. And
I know.
I just looked it up, and people are selling the bucket and cup combo for $105 on Mercari.
Crazy. but here, I don't even think to ask for the ghost. Now, my wife did. She did this Ghostbusters pack, which was two glow-in-the-dark Ghostbusters cups, and everybody apparently is going nuts over it. Nobody drinks out of these cups in our house anymore. That used to be like the main thing, but my wife has her own metal cup or insulated cup. You know, sometimes it's plastic. I have two or three metal cups that I go through. The kids just grab whatever random crap is in the main cabinet. So I'm like, I'm tired. I cannot tell you how many seasons of Georgia Tech football cups we have that are the same freaking cup because Papa Allen has to buy one every stinking time he takes a kid up there. I'm like, so no, I don't ask for those cups anymore.
What about the storage house?
And it's not a thing anymore. This is the storage house now.
Oh, that's right. Someone's living there now.
Yeah. But I got the bucket. I was very happy.
But you didn't get the other Demon Slayer popcorn bucket.
Roll that dice.
The one that's available.
Roll Universal Studios.
Hey, when you go on your next cruise and swing by Universal Studios, pick me up one. I'll pay you for it.
Yeah, no.
Roll that dice.
Also, I don't think I like Random Kid anymore.
Why?
Because he called Charles a dummy.
No.
Worse. Oh, you're talking about worse. The diehard thing? It's because it's the truth.
What did the dice bring up? These Holocaust deniers, flat earth, diehard's not a Christmas movie MFers. Yeah.
It's personal story time.
There's a special place in hell for people who deny Die Hard and pedophiles. So, just saying.
Who deny pedophiles?
No, deny Die Hard.
What are you saying, Charles?
Are you saying Die Hard is filled with pedophiles?
I'm saying on the fly, being tired, I tried to take the line from Firefly, which is a special place in hell for people who talk in movie theaters and pedophiles, and change it to people who deny that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. And that's not the point. Tell me about your first job.
Personal story time.
It's personal story time.
Did you know that it was personal story time, Charles?
I asked you about your first job. That's in the story. Daddy, tell me a story about your first time. Joe, you're on. Oh,
wow. He got rid of everybody. That wasn't even me. I didn't touch it. So my first job, I guess, well, if you back up to when I was a kid, my first job was really mowing my neighbor's lawn, which it worked out well, but I'm surprised that he didn't get after me a few times for being late on mowing it or being an ignoramus or, yeah, there were a few times where I did half the job and then my dad called me in for dinner or something else and then had to finish it later. Like, yeah, he was actually a super, super nice older guy who basically every time if he was home while I was mowing the lawn, he would bring me out a Sprite. And so I'd drink the Sprite and keep going.
I can't do the whistle, but sure look sweaty over there, Joe. Go get the Sprite.
Nothing like that. I actually don't know like hardly anything about the man other than when he'd bring me out a Sprite. And when he'd pay me, I don't think I ever actually interacted with him.
So you're saying you blocked it out?
He did know. Sure. It puts the lotion on the skin. I know he hasn't seen the movie. So,
but my first job as a teenager was at a Burger King. That I worked at for 2 or 3 years. They were actually considering making me a manager at one point, but then I moved. So, you know, that didn't exactly happen. But I like in the system, I knew half the manager's codes because they trusted me to empty the till, count the money, and do half their jobs for them.
I don't trust you to count the money. That's now.
But no, yeah. I worked there. My sister worked there as well, and her baby daddy worked there as well, and AKA her first husband. But yeah, it was a good job. You know, it was a job. So I did my senior year of high school. I only went to school half time because I got work release permission. So I went to school in the morning and then went and worked 8 hours at Burger King after that. So, yeah.
Guess if this is prison versus school, work release. Yes. Yep. You spend 8 hours in a 10 by 10 concrete block room with 30 minutes outside in the yard. Yeah, check both. you got people yelling at you to move from one place to the other, and you eat when you're told. That's both. Yeah, sorry. Did Kurt, do you remember your first job?
I do. So you have to understand that I grew up in a little town that consisted of farmlands, and the rules are different with farms, with family farms.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, you start working at 10 or yeah. Yeah.
My first job, I was 10, nine or 10, nine or 10 picking green beans, at the local farm, and they would pay us 5 cents a pound, but you had to fill at least a bushel.
And how many pounds are in a bushel?
16?
I don't know why.
I was going to say, I don't remember, but like 16 to 20, somewhere in there, I think.
I remember the randomest crap.
Yeah, yeah. So, so that was, you know, and I worked on the farm.
Wait, and they're paying you a nickel a pound.
Yeah. So,
is this in the Dust Bowl? I mean,
this is no. And it was in the late 70s, early 80s.
So for a bushel, you get less than a dollar? If it's 16 pounds times
0.05.
So I Googled it. A bushel of potatoes is 60 pounds.
60. Okay.
So that's a bushel of potatoes. So maybe it is 60 pounds for a bushel of beans because I don't know.
$3, 60 pounds to get $3. But,
so here's a couple of things to understand.
Okay.
One, as a kid, your concept of time is very different.
True.
Right? So, two, if I could fill 2 bushels in a day, that's $6 for a 9 or 10 year old.
Okay. And for economics, what was something comparable, like a candy bar or gas prices or movies?
Minimum wage.
Minimum. I don't know what minimum wage was back then, but I will tell you when I did know. It was $3 an hour. So that was a few years later. So it had to be less than that. Probably. But also, like, you could go to the store and get candy and whatnot for 25, 50 cents, you know, pretty straight up. Cause what I would also do is I would go to the store, buy a bunch of candy, bring it to school, and resell it at a profit to my classmates.
That's the first real job right there.
Yep. Yeah. And I would take orders after a while. Because I lived close enough to walk to the store. So that was like, but everybody in my town, we would all work for one of the farms, you know, cause there were 3 or 4 farms in town. You would work at one of them. And I worked at the farm for like 4 or 5 years. Cause you worked your way up to an hourly wage, really. But then like during high school, I had all kinds of jobs. Like I did a tour at Burger King, but I ended up closing most nights. So it was terrible and I didn't have a license. So my parents picked me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, the nights that I worked. Yeah. I worked a couple of different clothing retail stores. In the summer, that all changed. In the summer, I worked 2 years for the telephone company, working in manholes, splicing cable at probably twice the minimum wage plus overtime because it was a union job. So I made a good amount of money there. Manholes, sitting down inside the manholes and
we
doing the job.
Named this show Manholes. That would have suited.
Yeah. the inside the manholes are way drier and cooler than you might think. So it was awesome during the summer. And the other summer job that I had was I worked at a local amusement park as a wandering musician. So I played a saxophone in a band that strolled all around the amusement park and we played for people.
Busking, right? That's what it's called, buskers?
Yeah, except we were paid per hour by the amusement park. And we would just go around entertaining people. Gotcha. That was like one of the coolest jobs ever. I worked a whole bunch of different companies and different jobs just over the years.
Roll so what about you, Charles? Dice. Oh,
Joe, wait, I get to tell my story. You? Joe, I know you didn't remember me being gone last week. You thought Bob was me the whole time, but come on, let me tell my story.
What a jerk.
Get Kelsey down here. So,
am I the butt face?
Yes, you are, Joe. growing up in the church, there's always things I needed to do. I had to do, I learned skills, but I didn't get paid for them type of deal. But around 10 or so, started mowing lawns, you know, $8 for just the front, $10 for front and back, which now I was like, $2 more to double the work. And actually, in the area I grew up in, front yards were shorter than backyards. So, yeah, that was my mom's doing. My first W-2 job was a grocery store. It was a chain, as in they had 6 or 7 stores locally. Hated it. It was the worst. It was the worst. Unjokingly, racist white guys. Looking back and seeing how something, you know, it had your stereotypical token almost older black gentleman who's been working there for years, but he's still just putting out cans and labeling them. No room for management, moving up, making sex. They were making sex. It was not fun. It was all right though. Yeah, I learned a few things. That's where I learned how to drive a stick shift. I was 16. You know, I hated everything. But I was there during the, because it's homeschooled, I could work during the daytime. So I didn't have to put up with a lot of the standard teenage crap. And I've done the Long John Silvers and the Taco Bells and the Chick-fil-A's. And you've gone through a whole bunch of different things. So one of the personal story times, Joe, should be what's our weirdest job ever that we did. Honestly, never worked for Burger King. Yeah, I wasn't going to do that. I didn't work for McDonald's either because I'll eat Taco Bell and Chick-fil-A. which maybe should be the opposite because at Long John Silver's, I won't eat Long John Silver's. So I worked there for a while, but I still like, so maybe I should have worked at Burger King. Do you guys eat Burger King now?
Sometimes. I don't, but I'm not eating a whole lot of fast food now anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So, but if I was going to... If I was going to, Burger King might have been number 4 or 5 on my list. I mean,
I'm not a big burger guy, so when I go for burgers, I go for the more pricier ones, like Five Guys,
yeah,
or something like Cookout, where it's definitively tastes different to me.
Still haven't hit a Cookout.
We'll try to knock one out while you're depending on your Dragon Con schedule. You know,
yeah,
that's. That kind of thing. So, all right.
This roll is the first time I've ever heard of Cookout.
You're not God, they're all over the place.
Because you go to Cracker Barrel. You are too white for Cookout. You're not invited.
I haven't gone to Cracker Barrel in over 15 years. Jerk face.
Nothing wrong with Cracker
Barrel. Stay tuned for this commercial break.
See, Joe? You see who the demographic is for it. Hey, look. Tell your friends. Tell everybody. Why you love Wise and Nerdy. Have them come and hang out with us. Download the show. Have fun. Share the freaking love, man. You know, that's the key. Linktree/Wise_N_Nerdy. Although I kind of think we should drop the underscores just to make it easier, but we'll talk about that later. I don't know. I could be wrong. But yeah, that's all we're asking for. I mean, yeah, of course, there's Patreon. We've talked about that. There's a Call Your Dad. We'll hit that at the end of the music here. But the biggest thing is, if you're enjoying what you're hearing, which we went over the numbers for the patrons. And I mean, still a good, decent amount of you who love downloading the show every week. Tell somebody. Get on the TikTokies and tag me at Rock Out of Podcasting. Love listening to the show. We'd love to have it. Now hit your buttons and do your craziness. I don't care.
Donate to your daddy. Patreon.com/WiseInNerdy.
Shut up, Mike.
All hail, King of the Losers!
Call your daddy and leave a voicemail. WiseInNerdy.com/CallDad.
Yeah, so Charles will stop complaining because everyone calls when he's gone.
Am I wrong? Look, while you roll those dice, the two cons I've been to lately, Atlanta Comic Con, where I was wearing my jersey, right, the Wesenary jersey, Atlanta Comic Con, and then Owl Con, multiple people, you know, two, three, I mean, not like a ton, said, what's your podcast? Tell me about your podcast. So if you're listening, because you met me at a con, thank you, and call your dad and let me know.
Nothing says new followers like berated.
We're not X-rated, so there's that.
Let daddy decide.
It's your kids. Oh my God, I just spit all over you. It's your kids, Joe. You can record them saying the right thing.
Yeah, that's like herding cats. Not hurting cats, herding cats. We all know Charles likes to hurt cats. So that is, how do I get into smoking and grilling?
I think I'm being set up.
Actually, we're talking about Charles's form of broccoli. He loves smoking broccoli on the grill.
Oh, are we talking about that? I'm going to sit back and be like, all right, Kurt, sorry.
So, okay. So the first thing you need to do is decide whether or not you actually want to do it. All right. So let's say you got past that and you do. What I would do is what I did, and that is start with your regular grill. Don't worry about getting a smoker. Don't worry about anything like that, because you need to understand how things work first. So if you have a regular grill, get yourself...
What's a regular grill?
So whether propane or gas or charcoal, it really doesn't matter. Whatever you're comfortable with. And what is going to be most important is being able to control the temperature. So if you have a grill, you can control the temperature, and you actually have a thermometer on your grill that is good, because most of them are terrible.
What's good?
So one that is calibrated to be accurate. And what I mean by that is, what people do is they'll buy like those oven thermometers that you can buy with the stick coming out of them, and put it in boiling water, which we know is 210 degrees Fahrenheit, or put it in your oven, set your oven to a temperature. And if you know your oven is accurate, you can compare it against what the thermometer says. So now you have your point of reference. The ones that are built into the hood of most grills, the big dial ones, are usually terrible. Like, and can be off in temperature by 50 to 100 degrees at times.
Whoa.
That's like, say my car goes 400 miles on a tank of gas if it does, or maybe sometimes 50 miles.
Yep. That's why they're terrible.
So real quick, before you go on, you, sir, fit guy day, make me feel fat. You need to have a link on there that links all your favorite tools for what you do on Amazon. Like, here's a few thermometers that I like.
Affiliate links.
Yeah. And let the, yeah. All right.
Yeah. So I've purposefully stayed away from affiliate links, but I'm kind of coming around to the idea of maybe
with Amazon or something like this. Cause like it would make it, you're saying, instead of me going, what's good? You're like, you know what? I got a few on my link shop. Go check out what you want.
Yep.
Because I don't know what's good. That's why I keep asking. Okay. What's normal? What's good?
So, okay. Right. So there's that. Now, let's say you want to smoke something. I would suggest something, forgiving. Like chicken.
Okay.
Like
now smoking is different than grilling. We're not firing it up.
Correct. If you think that like this is oversimplifying, but grilling direct heat, smoking offset heat, just to kind of put it out there. Because we also haven't talked about wood chips or wood pellets or anything like that, but we'll get there. The first thing is really the whole process, which is if you're doing chicken, you put your chicken on one side of the grill. And usually if you have multiple burners on your grill, you want to light the burner that is the furthest away from where the chicken's going to be. And that'll be offset heating, offset cooking. And you're probably going to want to keep it really low because you don't want the internal temperature to be higher than about 225 to 250. So that's the kind of setup. Now, how do we infuse it with smoke? The easiest way is, well, there's two ways. One I haven't tried nowadays. Kingsford and those kinds of companies are putting out smoking pouches, which I guess you just put them in and you light them and they generate smoke. Okay, cool. I've not tried that.
Okay.
There's also smoking tubes, which are a mesh tube that's usually 6 to 12 inches long, and you fill it with pellets, like wood pellets that you can buy at any of the hardware stores. Usually flavored like apple or hickory or mesquite, that kind of thing. And you light them and let them smolder. Once they generate a good amount of smoke, you put the cover down on the grill and you let that thing go. And you let it go for probably a couple of hours, for the chicken. You got to get your chicken to 165 degrees. And that's the other piece of equipment that I would recommend, and that is a instant read thermometer. Thermapen is one of the companies that makes a good one. And you check it 165 degrees, and when it's done, you just pull it. But it's going to take a lot of practice. I decided to go with ribs first. And I didn't have good edible ribs for the first two or three times. In fact, one of them caught on fire in my grill.
Ooh.
flames shooting out the back of the grill, and I pulled out four racks of charcoal.
Oh no.
And it's not even supposed to be hot enough to catch on fire, right?
Nope.
Because you're talking about hours of letting it sit there in offset heat versus cooking over a matter of 30 minutes,
right.
60 minutes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, when I do my ribs, it's usually a 6 or 7 hour process.
And it caught on fire. I was like, that's just funny.
Oh my God.
That was a Cracker Barrel night.
Yeah, no kidding. but I would really say start simple. Start small, start simple. A good thing to do, a good way to play around with it a little bit. If you like cheese, smoke your own cheese. And
that just sounds like an insult. Just smoke your own cheese.
Nope. And so one of the things about cheese is it's what is called cold smoked. And cold smoke just refers to anything under 180 degrees. However, if you're in a climate that is pretty cool in the springtime, you get one of those smoking pellet tubes that I was talking about, or a pouch. You light it, you put it into your grill. You do not turn on your grill. You lay out your cheese and let it go for 2 hours. Just let it smolder. Let it smoke the cheese for 2 hours. Take it out. Find a way to kind of vacuum pack your cheese, whether it's through sucking all the air out of a Ziploc or getting a vacuum sealer.
Yeah.
You seal it up, throw it in the back of your fridge for 2 weeks minimum, and you let it sit there.
What? What is it about hot than cold that brings out flavors?
So what for the smoke end of things? Smoke will attach itself to meat more when the meat is colder.
Interesting.
And then it mellows out after it while it's doing the cooking. With cheese, there is no cooking. You're literally just producing smoke to attach itself to the cheese. You put it away for a couple of weeks to mellow it out, because if you try eating the smoked cheese right away, it's acrid as all get out and it's not good. I did a before and after try because you have to.
Sure.
But smoked cheddar is great. Smoked Gouda is great. That's
my favorite, to smoke
Gouda. Yeah, I did smoked mozzarella as well. I did smoked mozzarella via, I just bought some cheese sticks and I smoked those.
Sure.
So yeah, it's really good. Doesn't take very long. I need to do more of it. I just haven't gotten around to it. But yeah. So does that kind of answer the beginning smoking question?
Yeah. So let's do a simple man's recap.
Okay? Yeah.
Correct me where I'm wrong here, but the easiest thing it sounds like to do is to get you have to have a good meat thermometer or, you know,
yep,
whatever.
Yep.
You have to have a smoking tube or smoking pouch, and then a grill that you can cover that you want to get up to a certain temperature, and then just play with stuff like chicken and timing. And I'm assuming YouTube and Google are your best friends in this.
Oh, case. Yes. YouTube, unbelievable amount of videos with people who know what they're talking about, like at a high level.
Good. I've been experimenting with making my own gummies, and the first recipe I found basically was Jell-O, and that's okay. But it's not what I wanted. And so I've got the recipe down for the texture and the flavor. Now, when I'm talking about making my own gummies, I get the Knox unflavored gelatin.
Yep.
Now I use some other stuff. Yeah, we can go into another show. But the flavoring, I'm a huge fan of Kool-Aid. And so I just took two packs of the same flavor Kool-Aid and put it in this recipe and to make my own flavor. And it came out like a Kool-Aid gummy, and I really enjoyed that part. So there's other stuff that I'll be playing with there. But I got that from going to YouTube, going, okay, how to make the best gummy bears, because I wanted to replicate that. So I'm assuming, as you just said, yes, that there's a lot of, you want somebody like me, you'd want something simple. Give me a step-by-step breakdown on how to smoke some Gouda and then practice from there. So I like it. Now, Random Kid does ask you, do you have a good jerk chicken recipe?
I do not, but there are so many out there. Just honestly, jerk chicken from a seasoning standpoint just isn't my favorite flavor. And so I don't do it a whole heck of a lot, but there's pre-made seasonings out there. There's recipes upon recipes upon recipes of people making their own seasoning. When I do a barbecue rub, I make my own based on recipes that I found, and I add my own little things to it, because that's what you do, kind of like chili. You get a base recipe and you just add whatever you do over the years. I think that, I've gotten to the point where I do ribs, and I actually wrote out a whole set of instructions for friends of mine. If you are thinking about just buying a smoker, my suggestion would be go pellet smoker. Because pellet smokers are usually digitally controlled. You can set the temperature. The pellets are available just about everywhere nowadays. And it's a good entry into it. And the chances of mistakes are far less. So
I like it. Random Kid makes stuff. Charles Drake his own Kool-Aid. No, I ate my own Kool-Aid. There's a difference. Oh, yeah. Now self-confidence makes sense. And one last question on this, because I think it's a very valid question, and I've got a thought on it, but I want to hear what Kurt has to say. Dry or wet ribs? Now explain what that is to the layperson.
Yeah, so it's simply wet ribs have sauce. They're just sauced. and dry ribs rely on the dry rub to give it its flavoring on the ribs themselves. I put a little sauce on my ribs, but I prefer the ribs that don't need that. So what I do is, you'll see, like, if you go out and buy ribs, they're usually drowning in sauce.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah. it's unnecessary. I use a dry rub, and then at the very end, I will put a small layer of Sweet Baby Ray's. That's really all I use. And small layer of sauce, let it set and get sticky, and that's it. I don't lather it on. I barely put any on, just to give it a little extra.
I personally think you don't need to. I'm a dry rib. Yeah. Kind of. Now, I will add some sauce on the side for specific flavor. Like I could have told you, I'm trying to tell you. It's a cowboy sauce that comes in a glass shaped, or it's a glass bottle shaped like a whiskey bottle. So-and-so made a barbecue sauce. I forget the name of the person right now. I'm tired. But I like their flavors. So I'll have a little bit on the side. But the thing is, you do a good enough dry rub and then let it sit in something that keeps the moisture in, it turns into a sauced rub or a sauce thing by itself with the
kind of does.
And that's the best sauce to me. Did we have pulled pork barbecue when you were here for the cookout?
No, I was going to make it, and we kind of ran out of time.
Sometimes I have my brother-in-law do it, but here's the thing. He does this straight dry rub pulled pork, but by the time it sits and marinates, it's just the juiciest, flavorful pork.
Yeah, I believe it.
And one more from Kid. Again, hey, come out live on Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern to ? on twitch.tv/wise_nerdy. Ask your own questions, because these are good questions. Do you marinate your meat before you smoke them?
Nope, not necessary. Let me clarify. I don't marinate my ribs. I will marinate chicken on occasion, but I do boneless, skinless chicken breasts a lot right now. But breasts or thighs, particularly if they have no skin, I will marinate them usually in a teriyaki or a barbecue, or sometimes I'll marinate them in Frank's Red Hot, just for some buffalo chicken type of flavor. But
have you tried Cholula?
I love Cholula, but I love it as a condiment.
Me too.
I wouldn't use it as a marinade just because the bottles are too small.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot. Are you talking about you go and get like the half gallon to gallon size of Frank's when you do a marinade?
No, but I get the giant tube pack of the larger bottles that you can get at Costco.
Okay. It's crazy. Yep. So Joe, you brought the topic up. Do you have any questions? Well, he left, so you don't have any questions.
No questions.
Do you have any thoughts on it? Do you have any?
I have the exact grill that he said not to get. I completely ignore the temperature gauge on that. I haven't actually tried smoking, but I do grill out back every now and again. And we actually got my in-laws gave us a fire pit for Christmas. And so we've gone out and cooked out there, but mostly it's been like hot dogs cooking over the fire for the kids, but it's not like a fine dining experience. It's more a memory building experience. Oh, we went out back, we cooked and we had fun. And it actually makes me think of my childhood, because there was a summer where basically every Friday night we built a fire in the backyard and either made tinfoil dinners or hot dogs or, whatever. And so there was a summer where every Friday, that's what we did. And it was fun.
Yeah. We do s'mores and different things. I had a very nice grill at one point that just got ruined because it didn't get used. Because it turns out a very expensive lesson was I'm not a grilling kind of guy. I don't care. I will absolutely, work on some gastronomy in the kitchen and see what I can mix with, like the gummy bears, where it's like, next we're going to do like Country Time Pink Lemonade. You know, you'll play with that kind of thing. But I absolutely just do not care to sit out there and do the barbecue and the cooking the things. But I'll eat it all day and appreciate it all day long. A random kid, it would be amazing if you were the person that says, and I can make this happen. But I love a random kid says, we need a lot of Wise and Nerdy branded products. Gummies, cigars, scotch, dice, maybe Papa Kurt's, you know, butt rub, you know, those guys. We can have all kind of Wise and Nerdy branded goodness here. That's all I'm saying. So I do have a question for another time, Joe.
Yeah, people are going to misconstrue that all over the place and marinate their bottoms.
Yep.
It's the best. There's a hot sauce out there called Pooped Bed. And yeah.
Oh, I bought a hot sauce once called Dr. Sphincter's
colon cleanser.
No, but it was like it was like pucker butt or something.
Yeah.
It was like one of those hot sauces where you take a bit like on the end of a toothpick and you taste it and it just lights up your mouth.
Yeah.
But I would use a few drops of it whenever I would make chili because it's got an applesauce base for the hot sauce. So it adds a little sweetness as well as the heat.
Yeah.
But man, you couldn't eat that like with any amount. it was too hot.
I mean, it's months and months away. We'll forget. But if we remember when you guys are here for the after party Dragon Con, I've got this bottle of Komodo. Black, and Komodo's the name of the brand. It's a local guy. His grandma was Taiwanese, raising with all kind of Thai chilies and stuff. And so he's made his own line of sauce with gold, red, and black. And it's Komodo. You can get on website and find it. But I love it. But it's the same thing. It's a soy-based hot sauce with a lot of Thai flavoring. So it gets chunky as the sauce runs out, and you have to shake it up. And but you can only use so much because it gets overwhelming. But when you use the right amount, it just really brings a special flavor. And that's why I call it gastronomy. I don't really cook. I make Shelby's chili, right? I don't do it from scratch. I'm like, cool, I like the Shelby's mix, whatever. Boom, Shelby's. Then I add a little fresh jalapeno, a little fresh onion, a little of the Komodo sauce. And that's what it is. Just kind of mix chemistry together to see how I can really bring it up. That's about it. But now that Kurt's back, that's okay.
Go ahead.
Joe did say he has the exact girl you said not to get, but that's about it. He had many questions. He has the one with the grades on the front.
I think most of us have had one.
Mine's pretty cheap.
Yeah. Well, but
so is your grill.
Even in higher end, I mean, unless you're paying over $1,000 for your grill, chances are that thermometer is terrible.
Next time I go to his house, I will take a picture and show us just a sticker. It's not even a gauge.
It doesn't work. It's just a sticker.
Roll that dice.
Which will be the third week in May, Joe.
Okay.
Bad dad jokes.
Sweet.
We've got two of them. One from Devo Site and one from KCJ. Here we go from Devo. Accept my Go XLR app.
What do you call a cow that just had a baby? Decaffeinated.
Heard it before, but okay. Good one, though.
Hey, did you guys hear about the fire at the shoe factory? Apparently a lot of souls were lost.
Casey, baby.
Now that could have improved by saying 27 souls were lost.
Nah, that wouldn't have helped.
No, because shoes come in pairs. People are going to want to know what happened to the other one.
That's such an odd reference.
Did you do bad dad jokes last week?
Yeah, we did.
Good.
Because you want me to play them for you? Here we go.
No.
What did one Egyptian worker say to the other? This job really spinks.
I can't support that one. That one wasn't all that great.
If you don't worry, we got another one for you.
Write them already. Today, everybody's heard them.
My wife asked me, "Could you please give me a bookmark?" I couldn't help but cry. All these years, and she doesn't know my name's Casey.
All right, that's better.
Yeah. Hey, look. What do you think about owning your own mistakes?
You can't just do that. You got to push the button, Charles.
There's no dice to roll. It's the last freaking segment.
I didn't say that you had to do that. I said you had to roll that dice.
Roll that. I hit them all. Are you happy now?
All the buttons.
So, Kurt, do you ruminate on your mistakes and let your feelings get in the way? Or how do you feel about, or do you deny mistakes? Do you say, you know what, we don't talk about the past? What do you feel? How do you think about owning your own mistakes?
I think that the best way to improve and get past them is to own them. I will say that I've gone back and forth on mistakes. I try not to have, so regrets are a little different than mistakes. So I'm going to kind of differentiate a little bit. Everybody makes mistakes. The only time I have problems is when mistakes are repeated. So, I'm not good at it necessarily, but I try not to make the same mistakes over and over again. When I do, that's when I have the biggest amount of regret. If I simply make a mistake, I'm getting better at just letting it go and moving forward. So,
what about you, Joe?
I don't make mistakes. I'm perfect.
That's my line. What are you talking about?
I knew that was going to be your line, so I had to steal it first.
It actually wasn't going to be, but it should be. Everybody knows. If anybody on this show is going to say that, it's not true.
No, I'm pretty good about owning up to my mistakes. At least I think I am, especially at work. And I am blessed to have a boss who appreciates when people take ownership of their mistakes and uses it as a growth opportunity instead of berating people for their mistakes over and over and over.
Sure, but what about you? Do you beat yourself up over the mistake? I'm not talking about, about typos. I'm talking about stuff that like hurt your family's heart or that you like, you really dropped the ball at work and that you can internalize.
I don't make a whole lot of those mistakes, to be honest.
That I can actually see.
And that's not me being like crazy or prideful or anything, but in general, I consider myself a rather empathetic person. And so I consider myself pretty good at putting myself in other people's shoes. And so I often avoid mistakes that would cause undue heartache.
So you feel like some
not always
do. Okay. I gotcha.
Some heartache is due as a growth experience, especially when you're parenting.
Why is she coming in to end the show when I haven't even got to tell my story? That's not the cue, Kelsey. You come in after my story so we can end the show on a funny note. But you know,
that's right.
Owning it is one thing, right? Saying, yeah, that's something I did. That's another. Consequences for choices, right? There's consequences to everything. Look, Kelsey, I'm not asking if you killed your kids. I'm saying the funny timing is after I tell my story in the last segment, and then we can say you can't be on the show, and we leave. You're killing this bit. You're killing. We practice it at Volunteer Day, okay? We practice this. All right. Secondly, Devo likes Kurt's Jethro jug. So consequences, right? I am as loud in life as I am on the show. Yeah, this is maybe slightly you know, turned up volume wise, you know, as far as the energy, the jokes, the fast, whatever's the attitude. But I'm just that guy. So I mess up big. And what I've learned, what I'm having to coach all my staff on, is I'm getting really hard at work. I'm really getting tough. I feel like it's mean, you know, and I have certain people around me. I said, look, you need to tell me when I'm actually going too far and being mean, because that's where I got to find that line, because I've been too nice. And we've gotten complacent, and things, they're not going bad, but they're not the best. They're not where I want them to be. And so I'm hitting hard, and I'm saying things, and I'm like, I just don't care anymore. And I do care, but I'm like, you know, I've done the nice thing. But there's choice. There's things that I've said, there's things I've done that will hurt feelings. And you said that, Joe. You know, sometimes it's, you know, yeah, growing can hurt. We can be upset. But how do we get people past the internalizing of the guilt and the I'm a failure? And it's there were some things that's happened over the last 4 weeks that should have been done faster. And now we're at this tipping point that we may not open this base that we're trying to do, and it will be a failure and it'll be painful. But my closest manager in that aspect was talking about, I take it on me. I said, no, stop. We're not taking anything on anybody right now. We can't go back and change the past. But we can identify, this is what we should have done then, this is what we should have done then, this is what we should have done. So now we know what we're going to do now. And removing, I found trying to remove that guilt, trying to remove that pain, trying to remove that negativity from it, to still go, yeah, no, there might be consequences. This still might hurt. We still might fail at this attempt that we're making because of the choices we made. And it will still suck. And we can lick our wounds for a minute and be sad, but we have to move on. That was my kind of inspiration for that. I was that guy that would own mistakes and not care. You know, it's like, yeah, no, yeah, you're right. I did that. I'm sorry, but you know what? Suck it up, buttercup. Move on. Life's life. We can't dwell on the past. But consequences come out. Sometimes you're in my marriage. Sometimes marriage gets stronger. There's two major. I won't go into it. It's already been a long night. But there's two major incidences in my life that my wife had to come to me and just. With this heartache and this hardness, and talk to me about decisions and things I'd done and said that hurt, and working on that. But that's the big thing. Embracing failures, how you learn to move on and not repeat them. 100%. And so I'll tell this, and you guys can talk on it. And cause we're way too alike on this topic, and that's fine. We don't need to go another hour, but the style of my family being raised up, very punchy in the face, very abrasive, very. Now, my mom did not own her mistakes. Sometimes she did, but it was very much made me own them. Every time, you think I'm crazy and wild now. No, he does that for a show. Imagine this in an 8-year-old, as a kid, not the other way. As a kid, I was wild and uncontrolled, and my parents didn't know what to do. I got spankings a lot. My daddy was Southern Baptist. We got spanked when we were wrong. But my mom made us admit what we did, talk about what we did to get that spanking. That's how I was raised. My wife was raised, we don't talk about Bruno. This is how she was raised. It's like, you know, stuff happens, we act like nothing ever happened. We look the other way, we smile at each other's face, and then when you're out of the room, like, I can't believe that they did this a year ago. And da, 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 da. And I was like, no, that's a cancer. And so, coming from those two different backgrounds, we've bashed. So with that being in mind, you're both married. You've both had experiences with other kinds of how do we own problems. Have you dealt with that, where somebody you worked with, somebody you married, somebody you live with, whatever it is, that they were raised in a total opposite? Because obviously you two are very healthily based, you know, emotionally mature people in this aspect of going, no, we got to own our mistakes. We got to be careful. We got to walk in other people's shoes, all that stuff. Have you dealt with somebody who was the opposite, but you had to work closely with them?
Well, so in general, those type of people tend to just bottle it up. And at least in my experience, they tend to bottle it up, and then something will set them off and they will just explode about something completely unrelated to what's actually frustrating them. And so getting to the core of the issue can be very hard, because oftentimes they don't even recognize why they're frustrated at that point, because it's been so long and they've just been holding on to that frustration.
And I think as men and husbands and fathers, we do that a lot, whether we realize it or not. And in my industry of emergency medicine, it is one more layer of, we don't talk about Bruno. We, you know, I want to keep work separate because I saw some really dark and hard things. I don't even know how I'm feeling about it. Therefore, I don't want to take all this and have my wife feel the same way, or my kids feel the same way. Or we have to be strong. And women are too. I'm speaking from a father's standpoint. I'm speaking from what I see traditionally in American society is, as men, we bottle it up. We don't talk about it. We have to be the fighter. We have to be the strong one. And I'm telling you, what I've learned is that's so backwards. Only in admitting what you're dealing with, only in talking through the emotions, only in figuring out the mistakes or whatever it is that you're in this spot for that you can't talk about, are you strong? The strength is in the talking and the sharing. It is not in the hiding and bottling it up. Because what you said is true, Joe. You won't know why you're frustrated. And that light flipped for me one day when I was going to my parents' house, and they called me right before something. And Oakland and Crosby were younger. It was the only set of kids we had at the time. And I got the phone, and then they did something little. I mean, I'm talking about younger. They were 2 and 3 or 3 and 4. I mean, little. And they did something. And I lost it, and I fully raged out. And then we still went to my parents' house, and then we came back, and I'm raging the whole way home, and for days. And that's when I realized, and it's a blur, so it's possible my wife also said something to me, but I realized I'm angry, and I don't know why. But the trigger was I dealt with my family, so there was obviously it was a lot I wasn't dealing with there. But you're right, Joe. So as we wrap it out, what's some advice you would give to anybody in any walk of life about how to deal with, I brought up as owning your mistakes because that seems to be a trigger for people, but that whole, when you're in that, how do you share your emotions? How do you talk to somebody? How do you get out of your own head? Because I was there, I was like, okay, I'm ready to talk to somebody. I don't even know how. I don't know how to get out of my own head of where I've got to be strong. I've got to provide for my family. I've got to protect them. I cannot share all this darkness I'm carrying. What's your advice to somebody like that?
You have to find some way to cope that isn't bottling it up, because that's not healthy. And for different people, it's going to be different. Your coping mechanism is going to be different. For some people, it's going to be a confidant. For other people, it's going to be going to see a therapist. For other people, it's going to be channeling that energy into something unrelated and yet productive. And then there's people who go destructive routes, and that's not healthy. So you got to find something constructive that you can do with that. And that's not the easiest thing to do.
Kurt?
Yeah. So, because we're touching on a couple of different things here. So I'll just stick to kind of like the personal end of things. I ended up going to see a therapist. And because I had friends who were close enough that I could confide in them. But one of the things that put me off is a couple of friends saying to me, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know, I didn't really sleep that well, last night, because all I kept doing was thinking about what you were saying and the problems that you're going through." And I'm going, wait, so now I'm causing you some pain so I'm not gonna burden you with that. And that's a me interpretation, not a them. Like, they would say, no, it's not a problem. And I'm going, if you're not sleeping because of me, that's a problem. And so I, and to this day, I still have a hard time with that aspect of things. So I ended up seeing a therapist for probably a year and a half. And it was great because I could go and just spill my guts with whatever I was thinking without worrying about whether it was selfish, without worrying about how it was going to affect the rest of my family, because it didn't matter. it allowed me to just vocalize what I was feeling, no matter what I was feeling. And it helped. That just the act of saying things out loud helps. To kind of bring it back to the mistakes aspect of things. And kind of what you were talking about a little bit, Charles. One of the things that my company does that differentiates us from a lot of companies in our sector is it is really, really easy to fire people. It is easy to go, you made a mistake. You screwed this up. I can't have that. You're gone. Most companies, if they're quote unquote empathetic, they use the three strike rule and they go, okay, I'm telling you, you did something wrong. If you do it again, we're going to have to write you up. And if you do it a third time, then we're going to have to let you go. My company refuses to do that. And so what we do instead is we absolutely put people on performance improvement plans. We absolutely give them metrics to measure up against, but we don't limit the chances that they have. And so what happens for us is that provides the company with two major things. One, loyalty. Because the employee now is no longer afraid. You know, they're allowed to move forward. They're allowed to make mistakes. Repeated mistakes are a problem. No question about it.
Make different mistakes. Yeah.
Make different mistakes. And the second thing is when we succeed at helping somebody be successful, we are a stronger company for it and they are stronger people for it. And so, we don't dwell on the mistakes. We dwell on how can we make this better moving forward. And that it's a little tiny detail, but it makes all the difference in the world.
I love all this advice. I really think we're going to change. We're bring the segment to a formal thing of the Council of Dads, right? I've talked about this for a while. Didn't know how we're going to get there, but this whole, what do you think about? I would like for those of you out there who are listening that have a question. It could be a surface question, like some of our think abouts. What do you think about? I forget some of the ones, but it can be anything. But it's this section of let us help you. And you can be anonymous. But this is the place for you to be able to say, I'm struggling with this. And none of us are going to shy away from it. Because I had a similar experience occur when I was and some of my darkest moments. And I knew I was destroying my marriage. And I knew that if I didn't change, and it's all come from inside. And if I didn't change that, I was going to lose anything and everything I cared about in this world. And I knew I had to fix things. And I knew I was carrying a lot of damage with me. And so I did the world that I knew. I went to the pastor. And I started sharing what I felt was surface level. Let me test the waters with these are my problems. And he freaked out. He freaked out. He was like, I can't help you. I wish I could help you. Let me get you this counselor. And I'm like, holy crap, man. I didn't even get to mid-level problems, much less the demons I know that are coming that I'm not ready to fight yet. And you, a man of God, freaked out. Holy crap, how bad off am I? Right? You talking about the burden, Kurt. Joe had the perfect life. He can't help. I'm sorry.
That's yeah.
But no, seriously. We've all dealt with things. We've all have different walks of life. This is part of what the Council of Dads is about. I mean, we did try to settle, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? The answer is yes. Shut up, random kid. But
it's not. It's not. You can sleep well tonight.
It's truly, we're here. And the Council of Dads will have advocates like Bob Magoo, and Stephen Adams, and those of you who want to give your own advice in the chat room can be honorary members of the Council of Dads. Of course, we do have a Council of Dads level on Patreon, but that's neither here nor there. But it's on the show, the segment. Let us know what you want to ask, what your struggle is. It can be I'm comparing two jobs. I might have to choose between a job and this person that I love that I have to figure out. We can help, and we want to help. So get in. It's a show at Joe, hit the buttons for the email. WNNshow@gmail.com. Thank you. We have our Discord, which you can find through the link tree. linktr.ee/wise_n_nerdy. And I'll have the Discord and other places. You can come out live. You can call in the speak pipe. You know, call dad. But let us help you. Because I'm telling you, it'll help us. Every time that we give advice from our own lives or hear advice from each other, it makes us better people. And as you can see on my tag, it's help others be awesome. That's my day every day. So, yeah, that's how we'll wrap the show here, because we want you to come out and be a part of what we do and jump in. Joe, you're looking around. Do you have something funny? You have something special? You got something, Nancy? Something? It's Kelsey sitting off to the side going, come on, Joe. It is bachelorette time. It is time to watch that bachelorette. Let's go. All right, Kelsey, fine.
Good dementia day.
Good day, dementia.
Follow these nerdy dads on social media. Charles at Rock God of Podcasting. Yes, Joe at Joseph_Ard. Check out the website, wiseandnerdy.com. And as always, they may not be your father, but they'll always be your daddy.
And check out VO by Kurt, my VO by Kurt everywhere.
Yeah, VO by Kurt will wander by on a bad dementia day. It's all right.
Bad daddy.
That's just cheesy.